we're going to be studying in chapter 41, which turns out to be a fairly lengthy chapter. It's got 57 verses. But in chapter 40, which we looked at on Sunday night, we studied about Joseph's time in prison. Of course, we learned from chapter 39 that he got put in prison because of a false accusation made by Potiphar's wife. And while he was in prison, the Lord blessed him, prospered him, and he was elevated to basically second in command there at the prison. He was right under the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison put everything under Joseph's hand. He was responsible for everything that went on and for all the prisoners. And while Joseph was there, we saw in chapter 40 that the chief butler and the chief baker of Pharaoh offended Pharaoh, and not sure what they did, but it was bad enough. He had both of them thrown in jail, and Pharaoh, or rather Joseph, was put in charge of these two men, and he served them while they were there. And while in prison, both of these men had a dream. Joseph interpreted the dream. We saw that he gave an interpretation that was favorable for the butler. And we saw that his interpretation came to pass. The butler was given back his position as being the chief butler and waiting on Pharaoh. The baker, on the other hand, got a interpretation that was really bad, just negative from start to finish. He was told that in 3 days he would be hung, and that's exactly what happened on Pharaoh's birthday. He was hung. But if you remember, Joseph, when he gave the interpretation to the chief butler, he asked him that when he was restored to his position, to remember him before Pharaoh and to have him brought out of prison. Well, we saw in verse 23 of the previous chapter, in chapter 40, it says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." So when he gets his job back, he forgets all about Joseph. As we will see later on in chapter 41, I don't think that he did it intentionally. I don't think that he just forgot about him because he didn't want to help Joseph. I'm going to give you my opinion on this, okay? It is my opinion that the Lord allowed that man to forget about Joseph. And what that would mean is that it was the Lord's intention for Joseph to continue on in prison. And I know that's hard for some people to believe, especially in this modern day Christianity that we have, where people try to tell you that God doesn't ever want anything bad to happen in your life and not going to allow anything bad. And that's just not what the Bible teaches, okay? If a person wants to believe that, that's fine, but that is not what the Bible teaches. It is very obvious from many examples in Scripture that there are times when the Lord will allow His children to go through very difficult times, very difficult seasons in their life. The Lord allows it, okay? Now, He may let the devil do something, or He may do it Himself, but at any rate, the Lord is the one who allows His children at times to go through hardship. Let me give you a perfect illustration. You can't get any better than the one I'm going to give you. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son who came to this world. Could He have stopped His Son from dying on the cross? Could He have stopped His Son from being beaten, from being spit upon, from being mocked, from being lied about? Could He have stopped all of that? As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Could His Father have made it where He didn't have to drink that cup? You bet He could have. But He didn't. He let His Son go right on through that horrible situation. Of course, we know there's a lot of reasons why He did that. And I believe that there's always a reason why the Lord allows this, why He allows one of His children or one of His people to go through hardship. Sometimes it's just a test. It's what the Bible calls the trial of our faith. It's just Him testing our faith, him increasing our faith, him working on areas of our life that are not the way they need to be. What would be wonderful is if all the Lord had to do was just point out an area of our life that wasn't right, and as soon as we saw it, we said, yes, Lord, that's not right. I agree with you. That's a shortcoming in my life. That's a sin. That's a problem. That's something I need to get right, and I'm going to get it right now, and I ain't going to fool with it no more. How many of you know that ain't how it works? There's a lot of times, right, when the Lord puts his finger on something in our life and we don't deal with it. He puts his finger right on something and says, okay, now this right here, you need to take care of that. But oftentimes, we don't take care of it. We just keep going right on down the same old road, doing the same old stuff. So he has to let us go through some things. When the Bible talks about a fiery trial, it likens our faith being tried to gold that is tried in the fire. That gold is purified as it goes through that fire. It burns away impurities. It burns away things that don't need to be there, okay? And I am convinced that's one reason why Christians go through fiery trials sometimes. God's burning away stuff that doesn't need to be there. Things that are very definite flaws in our character. Things that are holding us back from being what he wants us to be, and he has to work on us. And even though I believe Joseph was a great man, here's the truth. Joseph wasn't a perfect man, because nobody has ever lived on this earth and been perfect and stayed perfect but the Lord Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You take the greatest Bible character you can think of outside of Jesus Christ. We know he was sinless. But you take any other mere mortal, no matter who that person is, no matter how great a man or woman of God they might have been, they were all sinners who had flaws in their character. Every single one without exception. You name any great Bible character you can think about, and I'm telling you, every one of them had something in their life that God had to work on. And I don't believe Joseph was any exception to that. I believe there's a reason why the Lord let that man forget about Joseph. He allowed Joseph to spend. Well, we'll just put it like this. Could God have got Joseph out of prison? Well, first of all, could he have kept him from going to prison? But he didn't, did he? He let that woman make up that lie and just tell a bald-faced lie about him and let her get away with it and him be thrown in jail. God allowed that to happen in his life. And I believe this same is true with this situation here where this butler forgets him. The butler later on, as we're going to see in this chapter, admits to Pharaoh that he made a mistake in not remembering him. So I don't think he forgot him on purpose. I think the Lord allowed him to forget about Joseph, because for whatever reason, and I can't tell you exactly what it was there in Joseph's life, but there was obviously something. God's working on Joseph. And I know the end of this story, like most of y'all do, how God uses Joseph to bring the people through this terrible famine and to save his family and all his kinfolks and stuff. I understand that. But God could have done that without having Joseph go through all of this. Yes, he used Joseph to do that, but he's working on Joseph too. I have often thought maybe there was a little bit of pride in Joseph's heart. You get to thinking about it. He has that dream. You remember the dream? The one that made his brothers hate him even more than they already hated him. And what's that dream about? That dream is about how one day his mother, his father, and all his siblings are going to come and bow down before him. He has those dreams. You know what he does? He runs right over and tells his folks, don't he? I just can't help but think maybe there was just a little bit of pride in Joseph. God's working on that. Whatever it is, the Lord's working on him. There's no doubt about it. And what is the result? I showed you this Sunday night. what is the result of him being forgotten? Well, chapter 41, verse 1 says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So at this time, as we're going to see, Joseph's still in jail. You know what's the result of that guy forgetting him? 2 years. 2 full years he's in jail for a crime he did not commit. It says in chapter 41, verse 1, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. It doesn't say he stood by a river. It says he stood by the river, a specific river, the river. And being that he's Pharaoh and we're in Egypt, it's probably going to be the Nile River because that was the main river there, okay? But I don't know for sure, but that's likely the river he's standing by, the Nile River. Verse 2, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine. You know what a kine is? It's a cow. Okay. 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. So these are some nice, healthy-looking cows. They're fat-fleshed, their bones, ribs aren't showing. They're healthy, good-looking cows. And they're feeding in a meadow. They come up out of the river. He sees this in his dream. And they look good, and they're feeding in a meadow right there by the river. Verse 3, and behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed. These some skinny cows. They don't look healthy. They look bad. Look bad. It says, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. They're all there together right by the river. 7 of them look really good. 7 of them look really bad. In verse 4, the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. That's his dream. He sees 14 cows. 7 come up first. They look beautiful. They got fat all over them. Well-favored, look great. Then 7 more come up. They look horrible. They're skinny, skin and bones, and they're all standing there together on the brink of the river, and the bad ones eat. They consume, literally, this is in his dream now, they literally consume the good ones, and then he wakes up. That's kind of a weird dream, isn't it? In your dream to see a cow eat a cow, I mean, that's odd, okay? I mean, how often do you see a cow eat a cow? I mean, that's just not something you see. Anybody in here ever have crazy dreams? I had some last night. Just retarded dreams. I don't know. I don't even know. I think I ate late. I think when I eat late and go to bed, I dream the craziest stuff. I don't know. I dream some weird stuff. What's that? Benadryl? Well, he wakes up, and I'm sure he's wondering what all this means. Verse 5, and he slept and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. Here's 7 ears of corn. They look really nice. Rank, we use it, you know, usually like it's something got a bad odor, you know, it smells bad or whatever, or sour, you know. But that's not what it means here. Rank, the word rank here means abundant. It means an excessive amount yielded. So when it says these ears are ranking good, it means they're big old fat ears of corn and they got lots of kernels on them, just good-looking corn like any farmer would be proud to have, or any gardener for that matter. Verse 6, and behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. So here's these 7s again. You got 14 cows, you wind up 14 ears of corn. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So he's had 2 crazy dreams, okay, or what I'm sure to him would be crazy dreams. But the thing that I notice about these people here is that when they dream something, most all of them believed that their dream had a meaning, that there was something behind that, that there was a message in the dream, because they all, or maybe not all, but a lot of them, if you notice, they seek somebody to interpret that. And they wouldn't seek somebody to give interpretation if they didn't believe there was a meaning to the dream. So they believe, and Pharaoh's no exception. He believes that what he's dreamed has a message. There's a meaning behind this. And, of course, he was right. He was right. Look at verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit, that's his human spirit, was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Why could they not interpret the dream? Because he calls for every wise man he's got and every magician he's got, and he gives them all the dream, and not one of them can give him the interpretation. And if you remember from the previous chapter, look back at chapter 40 in verse 8. Chapter 40, verse 8. And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Who's able to give interpretation? The Lord. That's it. He says interpretations belong to God. There he is. He's the one that gives them. So the reason these magicians and these wise men couldn't give interpretation is because they were not looking to God to get the interpretation. Joseph told those two men in prison, he said, "Look, interpretations belong to God." He said, "You tell me." But when Joseph is getting them to tell him, he's taking that to the Lord and depending on God to give him the interpretation. He's not thinking in himself that through his wisdom or through some sorcery or whatever, some magic, that he can come up with the interpretation. He's looking to the only one who can give interpretation, which is God, and the Lord gives it to him. These men are not looking to the Lord. They're depending on their wisdom, things they've studied. They're some of them's called magicians, so they're into sorcery and witchcraft and black magic and all that kind of mess. And they're thinking that through all of this, they can conjure up the interpretation. They can't get it because it's only God that can give the interpretation. Verse 9, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying," look at this now, "I do remember my faults this day." You see that? He's admitting he messed up there, right? I don't think he forgot on purpose at all. I think he just legitimately forgot. He was probably so happy that he got his job back and didn't get hung and wasn't in prison anymore. And, like I said, I believe the Lord just allowed him to forget. But here he realizes, hey, man, I made a mistake. I remember what I was supposed to do. He says, "I remember my faults this day." One thing you got to say about that chief butler, don't know who he was, no names ever given, anything like that. One thing you got to admire about him is that he was willing to admit that he had faults. How about that? He says, "I do remember my faults this day." Not everybody else's fault. I remember my faults. He's owning up. He's taking responsibility. He's saying, "Hey, I made a mistake here. I got some faults in me." Man, what a wonderful, wonderful example of how every one of us needs to be. Willing to take responsibility and admit that we have issues, that we have faults, that we have problems. We all understand, hopefully, that there's no possible way that you'll ever get help for anything until you're willing to admit that you got a problem. You got to stop blaming everybody else, saying it's their fault. Or this is the thing you hear nowadays, "Well, I know that I did so-and-so, or I know that I have a problem with whatever, but the reason I have it is because of, you know, my mama and daddy didn't raise me right, or, you know, I saw this when I was a kid, or so-and-so mistreated me. If you can even get somebody to admit a fault, they turn right around and try to blame somebody else for the fault that they just admitted having. That's no good. That's no good. You're not going to get any help by blaming somebody else or not taking responsibility. You got to be willing to say, hey, this old boy right here, I did it. My fault, my problem. And when you do that, then the Lord can help you. Amen? That Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And part of humility is you being man or woman enough to say, I got the fault. And when you do that, the Lord can help you. He'll give you some grace and help you with that problem, whatever it is. So at least the fellow's willing to speak up and say, hey, man, I made a mistake. Verse 10, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants. This is the guy continuing to explain himself. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, and I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man in Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret, which is what he means in verse 11 when he says, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of dream. He's saying, we told Joseph, and he told us interpretation according to our dream. He gave it just like it was. And what he said actually came to pass. Verse 13, and it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. So the chief butler goes back through the story and tells Pharaoh what happened. Well, when Pharaoh hears this, verse 14, he sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Now, this dungeon, it's mentioned back in chapter 40 and verse 15, Joseph calls that place where he's at a dungeon. So you need to get a little bit of a picture there where Joseph's been for the last 2 years, okay? He hadn't been in one of these modern-day places where you got cable television and you get 3 square meals a day and a fine cot to sleep on, and they'll send you to school while you're in there and educate you and all that kind of stuff. No, he's in a dungeon. In a dark, nasty dungeon where he ain't getting to groom himself or anything else. Look at the next, the same verse. It says, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Why do you have to shave and change? I mean, if he's in a place where he's, you know, got toiletries and all the fine stuff and razor and shaving cream and all that, he wouldn't have to shave and change clothes. He's been in there, beard probably, I mean, just in my mind's eye, I'm looking at a fella who's just scroungy, scruffy looking, beard all over the place, long hair, dirty clothes. He probably stinks to high heaven. That's where he's been for 2 full years. Now, I wouldn't have such a issue with that if it's somebody that was guilty of a crime. We talk about a fella who didn't do anything. 2 years he's been in that shape. But he shaves himself. Changed his garment. I wonder if he used one of them fancy five-bladed razors. Or straight edge. What you reckon he used? I mean, seriously, what do you reckon people shave with back here? I think it was a knife or a rock or something. Reckon shit was around back then? That's about shaving cream for sensitive skin, you know, with that aloe vera gel in it. I don't know. I don't expect it was no easy thing. But it says he came in unto Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it, because none went to the right source. You know, that's why a lot of people today are not getting the help that they desire. There are people today who have some major issues in their life. Habits, addictions, family problems. I mean, just all kind of stuff. And it just they just go on and on and on in that situation, and they don't want to stay there. They really do want out. They want it to be better than it is. They're sick of the life they've lived for so long, and they want things to change so bad. Some of them are just so desirous to get out of it. But you know, the problem is that the majority of them are going to the wrong places to try to get help for the problem they have. Folks, who's the only one that can help you? Y'all tell me. The Lord's the only one that can help you. You can go to this and you can go to that and you can go to this and go to that, but until you go to Him, you will never get the true and lasting help that you need. He's the only one that can really fix the problem, whatever it is. Whatever it is. He's the only one. Verse 15, and I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. I mean, you watch Joseph here. Joseph answered Pharaoh. He hadn't changed his tune a bit. 2 years in prison hadn't turned him into a bitter old sour man who's angry at God. You know what I'm telling you? Look at this. It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. What did he tell them two fellas that had the dream in jail? Y'all remember that? He said it's God that gives interpretations. Now he said that before he done spent 2 years in jail in a dungeon, okay? Now you think after 2 years of being forgotten about, being in that scroungy, scruffy, terrible, dark, damp place, beard growing out, stinking and all that, he might have had a bad attitude toward the Lord, but he didn't. He ain't changed his tune a bit. Them 2 years did not cause him to be any different toward the Lord than he was. I'm talking about in a negative way. What a blessing. People go through hard times in life. We've talked about it before, and I've seen it. Some of them come out of it, and man, they still going strong for God. Some come out of it, and they're so hard and cold and bitter and backslid in their heart, it's unbelievable. It's not a matter of whether or not you're going to go through stuff. We talked about that Sunday night. You are. It's just a matter of how it's going to affect you. Either you're going to stay true and let God help you and strengthen you, continue to walk with the Lord, or you're going to go the other route. Joseph keeps his chin up, keeps his faith in God. He says, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. He's fixing to tell him his dream. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored. They fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. Said, I never seen cows so bad in my life. Horrible, horrible-looking cows. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first 7 fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. He says, after they ate them, you couldn't even tell. They looked just as bad after they ate them as they did before they ate them. I'm assuming, okay, there's 7 bad cows and 7 good cows. And the 7 bad ate the 7 good. I'm assuming that each cow ate a cow is what, you know. Wouldn't y'all think that? Just each one got them a cow. Reckon how they wanted their steaks cooked. They just, what's that? Raw. That's right. They just each one eat them a cow, but when they get done, they don't look any different. You can't tell that they've eaten. Verse 22, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full and good. Behold, 7 ears withered then, blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them, and the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. In other words, they're two different dreams, but they got one meaning. They mean the same thing. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. the dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after then are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. So here it is. You're going to have seven good years of plenty. And those seven good years will be followed by seven bad years of famine. In both dreams, the seven good came first. The first thing he saw was the seven good cows and the seven good ears of corn. Then they were followed by the bad. And that's the way this thing's going to be. There's going to be seven great years, plenty of food, just bountiful crops, everything good, followed by 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Notice how Joseph just keeps talking about the Lord in this thing. God, God, God. He's giving him a message here. He's talking to him about the Lord. Putting all the emphasis. Joseph is directing all of Pharaoh's attention to the Lord, not to himself. I mean, he started out the thing in verse 16 by saying, "It is not in me." Don't look at me, Pharaoh. I don't have the answer for you. God has the answer. He's directing all of his attention to God. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? You think of another fellow in the Bible? Well, there's a lot of them. I think about one fellow in particular, about old John the Baptist. He comes out there preaching and everybody's running to him, wanting to know who he is, or they think he's Elijah the prophet. He just, all this talk about him, you know what he says? There's one coming after me who is preferred before me. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He points everybody to Jesus Christ, not himself. He doesn't want the attention for himself. He said later on, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. It's about putting the emphasis on the Lord. It's not about putting the emphasis on us, amen? It's not trying to get attention, attract attention, getting applause and pats on the back and all that for us. It's him. He is worthy. He is the only one that is worthy of any praise at all. And our job is not to point people to us, it's to point people to him all the time. Whether we're around other Christians or we're around lost people, it matters not. Our job is to direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can really help those people. Only one. We're going to stop where we are here tonight, and we'll finish this chapter later. Any questions about what we looked at here? Any questions? Well, I do appreciate y'all coming out for the service tonight. And Lord willing, we'll be back this weekend. Y'all will stand up. We'll be dismissed.